Joe presents Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
Mainly what I'm looking to have a chat to you today about is just your backstory and how we're here, how we're sitting here today and in the middle of, you know, in the lead up to a World Cup. And
yeah.
You know, you're in camp with the boys and stuff like that, having just come off, and another league win with Leinster as well. So that journey to get there. So you're from Auckland originally. Whereabouts did you grow up in Auckland? Like, were you a city boy or out in the suburbs?
I was born in the city near Ponsonby.
Mm.
And then when I was 2 or 3, we moved up north, about 2 hours north, to a place called Dargaville.
Yes, yeah.
So lived in Dargaville for a bit and then moved out just about 5-10 minutes outside of Dargaville out to the beach called Bailey's Beach. And mm-hmm. then between Bailey's and Mahuta, we moved to Mahuta, which is probably about 10 minutes down the road, but it's still on the beach. So grew up probably mostly with the beach nearby, which is pretty cool.
The I lived in Auckland for a year myself.
Oh, yeah?
It was the year after the Lions tour.
Okay.
And, but yeah, it was great. I lived in just near Kingsland, so
yeah.
Close enough to Eden Park as well.
Yeah.
But just absolutely bonkers country for rugby.
It's like, mad, isn't it? They're crazy about it.
Yeah.
It's a different level.
It's like, yeah, like front page news, or if your top story might be if some guy is injured or something,
yeah,
like that as well.
Yeah.
But were you kind of like that as well? Is just like, was rugby one of the first things you ever wanted to do, or were there other interests?
Pretty much, yeah. Like, always growing up, we would always had a rugby ball in our hands, or playing with your mates in school and stuff like that. We always would have been rugby, so that's what I always wanted to be, was a rugby player from an early age. So it's pretty cool to be able to do it now, I must say.
Yeah, yeah. And what's your family like? It's like your mum and dad, and do you have brothers or sisters? Or
I have a little brother and a little sister. So my sister she's 19 and my brother's 15 at the moment. So pretty much rugby mad as well. Like, my dad's a rugby coach. Mum wouldn't be, she'd be into it. And then both my brother and sister played as well, so it's in the family.
Yeah, yeah. And I remember being up at Bailey's Beach before. We did like a weekend away up there, and just the stretches of beach up that way are incredible, aren't they?
It's like, insane. Yeah. And you can get speeding tickets on the beach.
Yeah.
The police actually police it, which is pretty crazy.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, because like, I think it's an actual registered highway.
Yeah.
Because you can get from obviously the top of the north all the way down to the, I'm not too far, not too sure where it stops, but it's a proper highway. A lot of people would drive on it.
And is it is that in the same place somewhere? Is it 90 Mile Beach? Is that up around that area?
That's close. So I think it's 90 Mile Beach is just past it. So
yeah,
it's up around that region. But the beaches are massive over there.
And so, like, I think you came over to Ireland when you were around 11, weren't you? But
yeah.
Do you have kind of standout memories, or just kind of, even if it's a bit of a jumble of memories of like good times growing up there in New Zealand as well? And
yeah, it would have been like, it almost seems like a different world or a different time, because obviously when I'm that bit younger, it's a different way of life. But have really fond memories of growing up on the beach and hanging with friends. I would have gone surfing a lot with Dad before school and stuff like that. So loads of cool things, and it's always nice when I do go back to visit those things and see family and stuff. So yeah.
And before that then, with your mum being from Atai, wasn't she, as well? And then your dad, I think he was born in Ireland, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But then the family had moved over to New Zealand as well. But did you ever come over here on holidays when you were a kid, or was it too much of a trek?
I came over when I was 2 for a couple of weeks with my mum, and then when I was 7, came over for my mum's sister's wedding as well, so I would have had that connection there as well. And my mum's family would have came and visited a good bit as well.
And were you always aware, like, of the Irishness? Like, was it a big part of your life growing up?
Yeah, definitely. Like, you're always kind of reminded. And, like, it was pretty cool as well to be able to say you were Irish as well. So, yeah, it was cool. I'm pretty privileged to have experienced both sides of the world, really, because it's pretty much as far as you can get away from Ireland to New Zealand.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool to be able to experience both.
And at any stage, like, with your you know, your dad being mad into rugby as well, like, you got along to games, or would you got along to Blues games or anything like that, or even ITM Cup or anything?
Yeah, I would have gone to a lot of the ITM games, a lot of the Blues games, and then would have got to a good few of the All Blacks games, and especially when Ireland were playing, would have always got along and seen them. So I actually went to the Lions versus the Auckland team in the 2005 tour, and Issa was actually playing 10 Auckland at the time, so it's pretty funny playing with them then as well.
Yeah, yeah. And that's it as well. It's like, they're, even to go to games like that as well, like, I'm sure they just always had the thing. I always remember being over there as well, that they, the expectancy to win as well, like they were just at that level where they came almost expecting a show as well, like, but
yeah,
just when they were on fire, like, just, you know, some hell of a team to watch, like, and the likes of maybe Carter, would he be one of your heroes?
Yeah, he would have been probably the biggest one. Him, Mulyaina was pretty, I really, really liked Mulyaina as well. But yeah, like all that hype about it. But then when they lost, it was almost the world was ending kind of thing as well. It was like such a huge letdown. So it's a lot of pressure to play under and have to perform week in, week out.
And what, like, I suppose when you moved out from Auckland then up to around Dargaville then as well, and you know, is it a bit more kind of relaxed pace to life? You know, like, you are on an island in the middle of, you know, nowhere for, you know, long stretches. Like, does it feel like, you know, would there be days where, you know, you're out legging around with your mates for 4 or 5 hours at a stretch? Or
it would be a lot chilled. Like, you'd be hanging on the beach for days, like a full day almost. And then, say, if you're over at your mates, you would be there from early on and then to the evening time. So one thing I do remember, everything started a bit earlier and finished earlier over there, and I'm not too sure, but I think even the bars and stuff closed quite early over there, so it's a bit different over here, where it's kind of people would sleep in and then stay out late, so that's probably the different lifestyles of the two.
And can you remember then the conversation when you were told, like, it would have been a big upheaval in your life to be told then that at the age of 10 or 11 that you were moving? Can you remember that day specifically?
I can remember the conversation I had with when my parents said it, and it was a bit like, I suppose I was probably too young, being only 11, that I didn't realize the severity of it, like how big of a change it was. And obviously my parents would have known how big of a challenge it was for them, uprooting everything and moving. But for me, all I could do was think of how excited it was going to be. Like, I'd been to Ireland twice before and I thought it was so cool. And it probably didn't hit me till 2 or 3 years later how big of a move it actually was.
Yeah, yeah. And when you kind of got in, you know, were you straight into school? Like, did you go within the first week or two? Like, you remember that as well?
I think we came over in July. And so I think we would have started school back in September then.
And then you had maybe a year of primary, and then before you went to secondary?
So that was a big change, because in New Zealand, we'd wear like sandals into school.
And then you'd
just take them off and then put them back on when you're going home. And then, like, you come over here and you'd be wearing like socks, shoes, everything. And there was, in the primary school I was in, there was no grass. It was all just the like courts and stuff. So that was a big change as well.
And were you tempted to keep, you know, go barefoot? Walking around the place,
it was too cold.
Yeah,
it's a bit different temperatures.
And then, so what was the name of the secondary? It was like art school.
Art school in Chinoja. I went to. It's just the local one in Athai.
And then, for you, coming over, maybe again, like, rugby was the main thing. What was your other sports then that you kind of get into as well?
Or I played a bit of soccer. But I played a little bit of Gaelic, not too much. Mostly with the school and a little bit with the club in the summertime, but. It's always been kind of rugby. I really like soccer, but it kept clashing a lot. Like, it was on at the same time, so it was always rugby, really, pretty much from then.
And what did your folks then both work when they came over here? Like, did your dad keep up the coaching as well, like, when he came over?
So he worked in a bank in New Zealand and kind of helped out with my team. But then when he came over here, he got a job with a Leinster Youth Development Officer. So that was when he took on coaching fully. So he didn't really do that over in New Zealand until he came over here. And then my mum was kind of, when my younger brother and sister were a bit younger, stayed at home, and now she's a social care worker, so she's doing that now. So they're both pretty busy at the moment.
Yeah, are you just sort of still kept busy enough?
Yeah.
And with your dad then, like, would he have had a local club then, like, growing up? Would you have seen him playing? Would you have seen him playing, or would he have been, you know, similar position to yourself, out half or in the background?
Yeah, I would have watched him play a good bit when I was younger and gone to all his games. And he was actually, he played a bit of 9, 10 and 15. So there would be a bit of similarities there as well. He had a lot of injuries, so, like, he did his knee twice and his ankle twice, so he was pretty unlucky with injuries. But he played on the Northland under 21 team and stuff. So
okay, yeah.
He'd have been handy enough.
And what has he been like, you know, like, for you kind of growing up? Has he been, like, the biggest influence maybe on your rugby path anyway?
I'd say so, yeah. Like, he's always been there for extra training sessions or that, or someone to go and talk to after a game. Like, the first person I'd normally talk to after a game would be Dad, outside of, like, the circle of the team I'm involved. So it's always good, because he'd always give his honest opinion, whether it was good or bad, or what I could work on, or And so he's always been there, kind of, and having been my coach as well from a young age, he's always probably went a bit harder on me.
Yeah.
And at the time, we clashed heads a lot, but in the like now, I look back at it and like think he's helped me a lot.
Yeah, yeah. And then for like looking back at school days as well, like was there anything you like subjects you really enjoy doing, or you know?
I quite like maths. I was decent enough at maths and sciencey and stuff. I was probably better at that kind of stuff than, let's say, the English, which is kind of two different things. But I didn't mind school, to be honest.
And would you still have mates that like you'd hang out with now that you were friends with in school as well?
Like, yeah, definitely. Like I'd have a close group of friends back in Athy, and then I'd have a close friends from Blackrock, and then I'd have friends from like different parts of periods of my life. But I'd still be very close, and I'm pretty lucky to say that I'd easily be able to go somewhere and have friends there. So
yeah, yeah. I spoke to it was before the Munster game, the semi final there, Adam Byrne. He's from out from Kill in Kildare, and he was talking about meeting up with friends when he goes back home and having a mate who works in the local pub and stuff as well, and might get a couple of free ones or something like that. But would you be the same if you went to Athy? Like, you know,
like I'd have probably five or six real close friends, and Jeremy Lachman would be one of them down in Munster as well. So myself and him would have very good friends in Athy, and we'd always try and meet up when we go home, and I try and organise a holiday or something between us. So it's very important to have, I think, when you go home.
When you look back at, like, let's say, even if you were to look back at your own CV of where you've been to, like to go down to your final year of school to Blackrock then and head on to the academy and then pretty much into the Leinster senior squad, it seems like, you know, your path was always predetermined, but was there a period in your life where like you looked at anything else? Like, you know, like was rugby always what you wanted to do, or did you ever look at have any other interest in what you might have pursued when you were finished school?
Probably, it's always rugby's always been the fore and foremost, and I suppose I've kind of always been in the representative sides and stuff like that. So, but I've always kind of had an interest in, like, I'd love to be my own boss or something like that. That's why I was kind of thinking, like, if this doesn't go well, then I'd like to, you'd have to obviously earn your time somewhere, but then, I don't know, open up your own restaurant, a bar or something like that, I think I'd be quite into,
and
if I was to pick anything.
Yeah, yeah. And well, probably there are, like, I know Owen O'Malley used to be at Leinster as well. You know, works, I think he has his own bar as well, doesn't he? Like,
but yeah, I think he has a few bars now, but it's kind of a good stepping stone for being a rugby player for that kind of stuff, because I know a lot of them do it, so it's easy enough to chat to someone and pick their brains about it.
The boys have the bridge as well, isn't
it? The bridge, there's the four of them involved in that, so like it's a pathway that could be followed.
And is that the kind of thing, or is maybe it's the thing of being an out half as well, where you have to know your own mind and kind of be, you know, strong enough personality, so you want to be your own boss as well?
Yeah, like, I definitely think so, and I think it's kind of cool to have your own say on things as well, and your business would be kind of like a reflection of yourself, so I think it's a pretty cool idea to have.
And what was the idea then, like, so then when you were kind of, you said playing for representative sides as well, maybe even Leinster underage as well, so Blackrock came along, and how did that all work out? Did like someone approach you, or maybe approach a coach or something? And
I think it kind of came around. It was always in the back of my head that I wanted to do something like that. And I was playing Leinster under 19s at the time, and it just came across through one of the Leinster under 19 coaches, and it was like, if this came up, would it be possible? Would you be interested? And I said, 100%. So that kind of how it came about. And but before we left New Zealand, I was looking to go to Auckland Grammar.
Yes, yeah.
So I think that was when we first came over here. We were kind of like, oh, where am I going to go, kind of thing. And then kind of didn't come through. But then when the opportunity came up, it was something we definitely wanted to do.
And do you look, you know, like, yeah, so Auckland Grammar, then, as you said, ESA or something like that. And oh, Jesus, the likes of, like, even all the big names would have played over there as well. But you'd probably walk around Blackrock then and see the pictures of like O'Driscoll and stuff like that up on the wall and everybody else. Like, they've got such a history. Would you have done that? Would you have walked those halls and looked at those pictures? And
yeah, it's pretty cool to see like the people who have been before you and see what the school has produced. So it says a lot about the place you're going into with the amount of people they've kind of brought out.
And then even, I suppose, going back to the Athy thing then as well, do you kind of see that kind of, like, let's say someone like Sean O'Brien, who's kind of recently finished up as well, like, you talk to people and they'd say you just see them wearing Leinster jerseys around the street a little bit more, where it would have been just Carlow jerseys or even Irish rugby jerseys in the past. Now it's Leinster jerseys as well. Do, like, Do you kind of see something similar, like back home, whenever you're home, there's that more interest of rugby is there?
100%. Like, I think that club system from the outer Dublin kind of areas, like the likes of Tyke Furlong as well, come from different places where rugby wouldn't be as renowned. It's obviously huge for the game. And I know in Athy anyway that the numbers playing rugby is doubled. And I think it's almost more than the Gaelic at the moment. So it just shows, and I think that helps as well with the teams being successful, the Leinster and the Irish teams especially, over the last few years, who have won stuff, have probably improved the game's reputation.
Is it a funny thing, because like, let's say like Carter was maybe your hero growing up and someone that you aspire to be to as well. Was it a thing as well, like it's now you're so established in the Irish team and at Munster as well, that kids that are wearing 10 down in Munster are thinking they're going to be Joey Carberry. Is that a crazy thing to get your head around as well? And at this, you're still at an early stage of your life, but you've established yourself so quickly that you'll have kids down in Limerick and Cork and Tip, you know, all kind of wearing 10 thinking they're Joey Carberry.
Like, yeah, it's very cool, I must say. Like, it's having been one of those kids one, and then for kids to be thinking like that of me, it's very special. And I suppose it's one of the coolest parts about doing my job is the impact you have on those kids, I suppose, and they coming up to you and meeting you and stuff. It's pretty special.
There's a part where actually just finished reading Dan Carter's book. He had it with Duncan Grieve, I think, did it with him. And you look back at his CV, like he's the best number 10 in the world that's ever played. And you read his book and he still has self-doubt and he still has moments where, I think he said in 2013, he was thinking of retiring, he wanted to retire early. And so many questions you asked yourself. Incredible to kind of think that you could be the best player in the world and you still have this. Is this some kind of daily thing you have to live with then as well? And you'll always be kind of looking to get better or asking, can you get more out of yourself as well?
Yeah, I suppose being in the environment that we're in each day is really an environment we have to be almost always asking the best of yourself and trying to improve. So that kind of does feed into your everyday then as well. Like, am I doing enough here? Am I doing enough there? Do I have to get better? So I suppose having the breaks and the weekends off and having something to take your mind off rugby as well is very important, because otherwise you just becomes kind of anxious about everything and you can overthink things then as well.
And is there stuff that you would do then, like, you know, to get your mind off it, like, you know, like hobbies or kind of like catching up with friends who just will talk about anything but the game?
I've obviously a great group of friends, and then even hanging out with my girlfriend or going playing a game of golf with the lads or I don't know, whatever it might be. It's just having your downtime is pretty important, to be honest, just to completely switch off.
I remember we were sitting actually here in the same room earlier this year, and I was talking to Rory Best about that, and he was saying how his wife is so great for... sometimes she'll talk to him about anything but, you know, like, and it's great just to switch off. So your girlfriend would be the same as well, would she?
Yeah, her name's Robin, and she just, like, when I first met her, she didn't know much about rugby. Like, we were only 19, so, like, just out of school, she didn't know anything about rugby. And then it's kind of like, it's a refreshing look being able to chat to her about it, because even though, like, she wouldn't know too much about it, she still kind of sees, like, the... almost a common sense view on it, where like if I was rugby, she'd be just like, well, why wouldn't you just do this or something like that? So it's nice. And but even at that, like, we would talk very little rugby, which is always really nice as well.
And is she working away now, like, or is she kind of...
She's still in college. She's another year in college up in DIT here. So she lives in Kildare, so about 10-15 minutes from my parents' home, which handy enough.
And yeah, it's then again, is are you then someone kind of like, tell me what happened in your day as well. Like, you know, is it good to kind of get involved and just take yourself out of that box and kind of get involved in her life and see what she's
definitely.
Up to as well?
Like, it's college is stressful for everyone, especially she'll be in her final year next year. And then she was in Paris then for the start of September to December of what would have been 2018. So when I moved down to Limerick, she was over in Paris then as well. So we were both starting something new. So that was kind of good as well. Both experience that at the same time.
And then what was it so you had this kind of path going forward then as well, and everything seemed to happen pretty quickly. I remember that being at that Treviso game at the RDS, and you had a great game, a few line breaks, I think you even got a try, maybe even two tries, if I remember correctly as well. But everything kind of seemed to be happening so quickly. Like, so is there, again, at a time where someone's able to talk to you and say, you know, like, you know, things are happening quick, but you still have to kind of keep your focus as well?
Yeah, I think that's quite... Well, my dad was quite good as well, because like I did 1 year in the academy, and then that's my start of that year was that Treviso game, and then played against the All Blacks in November. So it was pretty crazy. Like, I couldn't have written it any better, to be honest. And how fast things were coming at me. It was always good to kind of go home and just chat to Dad, and he would kind of be like, look, you could be doing this better, you could be doing that better. So having that side of it was great as well.
I'll kind of, last couple of questions I'll finish up by asking you, the last rugby question anyway, is then to have that journey where everybody came with you, and then to you know, being so steely focused and knew exactly that rugby was what you wanted to do, to come from New Zealand as well. That game where you had the week, your 21st birthday, you're over in Chicago as well, and then to play the All Blacks as well. Were your family over for that one? Like, were they in the crowd in Soldier Field? For
yeah,
as
my
well?
Dad was over at it, which is pretty cool. Mm. He got over, and then I had a few cousins from who live in America were down at it as well. So that was a pretty special week, now I say.
And is there a moment when you're out in that pitch and you just kind of, you're looking around American football stadium, another part of the world, and you just kind of take it all in for a moment?
It was weird because you run onto the pitch and you're kind of like, the pitch was so close, because obviously the American football is so much smaller. Mm. And it was kind of weird because you're like, I'm in my first time in the States as well. So like being in Chicago, playing for Ireland, that was one of the big things as well. I was like, I couldn't believe I was actually playing for Ireland. So it was all like a whole load of new sensations that was kind of just thrown at me at once. So it's incredibly special week to remember.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, we're back somehow. We're back at the start of a new season.
Yeah.
It seems a bit crazy. It doesn't even seem real that we're at the start of a new season, but you're in and out of Ireland camp and getting yourself ready and keeping yourself fit. But why are we here today, and
we're here today. We're endorsing the new flavour, blueberry flavour of Avonmore Protein Milk. So it's very nice, and it's a pretty cool company to be involved in. So it's a pretty good day.
We were chatting to David Clifford a week ago, and I think he's on the blueberry milk now as well. So it seems to be working for him anyway. So hopefully it works for yourself as well.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah. Okay, cheers for that.
Awesome. Joey. Thank you.
Cheers.
You were listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie for the facts.